With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is the View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 14th of December, 2021. My name's Patrick Smith. Not long till Santa Claus visits. A couple of shows before that could happen. It's a hell of a week for the Belfast Giants just gone by. Of course, you can get us on all your favorite podcast platforms and on YouTube, where you can get little bits and pieces more. It's going to be one great show. We're going to have Jordan Boucher on. He'll be answering your TFAs. We'll also be hearing from the CEO of the Aussie Trust, Robert Fitzpatrick, about the Friendship Four. We've got a few games to talk about. We may mention the game against Nottingham, and we'll look ahead a little bit to the games against the Sheffield Steelers and a bit of news besides. We also have the Player of the Month results sponsored by Phonacab. And we'll start off by introducing two good friends who are here with me right now. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Paddy, I've got to admit, I'm feeling a wee bit rough this week. So I've got a lot of benylin in me. I've got some phenylephrine hydrochloride in me. And I've big ball of Monster.
Big ball of Monster.
If any of the three companies wish to sponsor the podcast, I drink your stuff on air. No problem.
Speaking of a big Monster, how are you doing, Kitty? You all right?
I'm just getting a vitamin C in me, mate. Wee bit of orange. Sorry, David.
Thanks to Northern Ireland supplements for the oranges.
I'm all right this day, Paddy, actually. Yeah, not too bad.
I'm going to start with I seem to be doing this quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. I'm going to start with an apology to you two gents. Joel will be with us later on. Actually, I'll just note that apparently he's got some other issues at Larne happening, but he will be with us later on. But I'm going to apologize because usually, I'll reach over here. Usually I do a bit of an agenda. People might be stunned at this, that there might be an agenda to this show, but there is. And usually I try to do it in a bit, you know, that has a bit of detail and, you know, it looks a bit more professional and I sort of just so I know what I'm doing. And that's what it normally looks like. Not today. Today, it's scribbled on a page.
Yeah, sure. Let's wing it.
That's where we are. So let's battle our way through and see how we get on, shall we, gentlemen? We're going to start with the Challenge Cup game that took place last Wednesday, and that was against, of course, the Coventry Blaze. First leg of the Challenge Cup that took place in Coventry, and it was a 3-2 win at that point for the Blaze. The Blaze goals coming from Evan Bloodoff, Nathaniel Halbert, and Bloodoff getting the second. Two power play goals for the Coventry Blaze. And for the Belfast Giants, the two goals both coming from JJ Pickenich. In goals for the Coventry Blaze, CJ Mott, 45 shots against, 2 goals against. And for Tyler Beskarowani, 38 shots against, 3 goals against. And your two referees for the night were Tom Perring and Liam Sewell. I'm not going to go too much into this game, Davey, because obviously this is half time. But an interesting game nonetheless. Coventry looking quite strong. 2 power play goals on it. And the Giants fighting back with the 2 that they got, but probably should have had a third as well.
Yeah, I guess what I liked most probably about this game was our third period. I thought we performed pretty well in the night, actually. Quite strong face-off circle. Dominated possession like we have been doing in a lot of games. And unfortunately, giving up those goals on the special teams is something that we have been focusing on, have been doing well in some games. Some games we've slipped a wee bit. So you get behind. But I liked our pushback in the third period. I liked the way we came to play big time in that third period. We threw a lot on CJ Mott in that third. And I think the goal from JJ Pickenich from Conway is a real example of just keep going. This is only coming up to half time, but you've got to keep going, keep yourself in the game. So as you say, we don't want to focus too much on this game. there was a lot of things that I liked from it. There was some things I didn't like from it, but I say I really enjoyed our third period, the way we pushed back ourselves back in this game, and all to play for in a couple of weeks.
You know, Simon, it was a good enough performance from Belfast. It's chalked down as a loss, unfortunately, in the way that these stats come through, but it is only halftime.
Yeah, that David touched on it there. That second goal could be absolutely crucial, but the third goal, just by looking at the reaction of the players, the official who points at the net, and I got I tweeted about it the other night, and then I got a message. I think it was a guy called Kevin Madden who lives, he's a Giants fan, but lives in Southampton. Mm-hmm. And Kevin says he was three rows back, the puck was definitely in the net. And you even see the reaction of the Coventry players, and they're just, their heads just drop, getting back from 3-1 up to basically a Giants being 3-3. It's a goal and it's waved off. Adam was not happy. But like coming back with a goal down, just need to win the game in Belfast. You know, you'd like to think you'd basically, we're missing bodies, a few guys missing out. Looking forward, I think we'll go through. I think we've got enough in the tank to put everything together for that win on the 12th of January. But I think you're right, Paddy. You know, it's one of those games where the guys just have, the majority of guys have never played in that situation before with the aggregate and probably just, you know, don't really get it. But, you know, they just need to win one more game, and I'll go through, and I'm pretty confident we'll do that.
I think Simon's right there. The biggest tell from the goal that was disallowed isn't so much the Giants players, because they're always going to go up for something that's in and around the net. It's the body language of the Coventry players. They were, we've conceded. And, you know, it was the first game where we had a bit of adversity this season. Well, we obviously played short at earlier in the season, but Slater Dog goes down during the game, doesn't return, with other bodies out injured. Cam Knight obviously returned that night as well, but...
You only play 5 minutes.
Yeah, like it's one of those. That we'll come on to the weekend, and time on ice for some of the players was phenomenal over the weekend, but we'll come on to that.
It's frustrating though, Davey. So I just want this, just on that point, and a point with regards to the goal. It's the frustration that this game is moving on. This league is moving on. They're doing so many things right to try to develop it. This is a must, and it should be operational. I know the Coventry have had their issues over the last couple of weeks regards to the ice and blah, 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 and that is difficult for them. We spoke to Danny Stewart last week, and he was saying, you know, how difficult is frustration when you want the guys want to get out there to practice and the likes. But this is something that we were talking about goal line technology 5-10 years ago. And
I thought it was in all the arenas.
Exactly. Was it John Jones we had on?
John Jones was involved in it.
He was involved in it. And whatever has happened here, it's just a failure of the systems. Now, yes, the referee's right there. He should be. He does call it. You know what I mean? The goal gets called and it gets chalked off. But there should be goal line technology. It should be operational. And I don't mean to say that teams should be fined, but we're fining teams and players for DOPS infringements. If technology infringements are part of it in the setup, then teams should feel the brunt of that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't know if it's the club that pays for it. I don't know if it's the league that pays for it. I'm assuming it is the club or the arena itself. You know, it's unacceptable. As you say, Pai, I mean, we're improving in a hell of a lot of angles within the IHL. And if it's not in one rank, then why should it be in the rest? Why should the rest of the clubs have to pay for it?
I genuinely thought that this was a league infrastructure thing.
I think it was too.
At least 5 years ago.
At least.
I remember a game that was the year before last. I think it was in Fife, and they didn't have one. And I think there was talk about Fife, you know, over, I can't remember who they played. I don't think it was us, but I think it was maybe Cardiff or something. And maybe Cardiff coaches or Adam Drury Lord was on going on about it. But look, you know what? Get it done. It evens the line for everybody. It could go your way on occasion. It could go against you on occasion. But over the long run, I would like to think that it would even itself up. But again, you know, in certain circumstances like this, if this was the second leg and that goal's cancelled out and everybody else has seen it, but there's no camera to basically confirm it, and it's cancelled out for you not going through to the final, or even in the final itself in an overtime situation, you get that goal. Go back to the laptop goal against the Cardiff Devils in Belfast. That's exactly what it's all about. Now, again, it just so happens that it didn't work that night in Belfast. I had to basically get it from a different angle. But it's 2021, guys.
But the technology was there. We did get it eventually. You know what I mean? The referees were able to see it.
Yeah.
So. That's one for you to chase up, Paddy. Find out what's happening.
Thanks, Davey.
You've got a direct link in there to EIHL Towers.
I showed you the state of the agenda today. I'll put that on my list of something.
Write a letter.
That's it. I'll get in touch with Luke and see what happens. Right. I think we'll move on from that, gentlemen. Obviously, that was the first leg. The second leg is in like a month's time. So we'll come back to that once that comes round. And there were other Challenge Cup quarterfinal first legs that took place over the weekend, and when Joel joins us later on, he'll probably give us the information on that. With that, we shall move on to the weekend and the first visitors of two games at the SSE Arena were that of the Fife Flyers. Coming in after being beaten the previous week in their own barn, they came in and were beaten here as well, 3-1 to your Belfast Giants. Scott Conway with the opening goal for the Giants. JJ Pickenich made it 2. Fife Flyers pulled one back in the third through Scott Jameson, and then Griffin Reinhardt rounded out the score in 55-54 to make it 3-1 to the Belfast Giants. Jackson Whistle in net, 26 shots against, 1 goal against. Shane Owen on the other side, 33 shots against, 3 goals against. And the two referees on the night were Tom Perring and Stephen Hogarth. Says it was 1 goal up all the way to the third period, which is always a bit tense, especially, you want to get that result. You want, especially a game against the Fife Flyers, who have been a bit up and down. Going into that third period, the Giants did need to get those goals to go ahead, and they got them.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought the Flyers started really well, actually. They played really tight. I thought they looked compact. We're missing a lot of bodies, obviously. We'll talk about that over the next couple of games. We're missing 5 guys on Friday night. Sorry, Saturday night. You know, you'd Ben Lake out with suspension, which we didn't touch on in the Coventry game. I think that's totally deserved, to be honest.
We are going to come back to that.
Okay. We then look at the likes of Slater-Dogger missing from the weekend itself. Kieran Long was out injured. Cam Knight was out injured. And Darcy Murphy. And, you know, that's one full line. Now, Adam then made the decision to bring a couple of kids in. Obviously, Mac has played before, brought young Carter Hamill in, and give him a couple of shifts itself. And I have to say that both of them did very, very well all weekend. Adam Robinson as well. And, you know, they add up, even if it was only 2 or 3 or 4 minutes each for the Friday night or Saturday night game against the Fife Flyers, they did very, very well whenever they get on the ice. They did not look out of place. But the Belfast Giants getting that first goal, which we've just seen on the screen, is all about this. It's all about JJ Pickenich. And that backhand pass right onto the tape of Scott Conway was absolutely unreal. He's skating away from him. You sort of see him having to look over his right shoulder and catching him out the side of his eye. And it was right from tape to tape, right through the seam itself. Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. One of the best passes I've seen at the SSE Arena in a long, long time. And then he goes on to get the second goal as well. And you know, you're looking comfortable at 2-0. Fife not really doing anything, you know, spectacular. But then the big goal for the Flyers comes out with Scott Jameson getting it. And it was a whole rigmarole around the net. Boucher had one of their guys, I can't remember who it was, in a headlock right in front of the referee. The play continues because the Giants don't have the puck. And then they stick it in the net. Jackson has to be commended because he was absolutely brilliant in the first 35, 40 minutes. You know, he'll be disappointed with giving that one up. But again, the first shot comes in, then the rebound he makes a save on, and he just doesn't get to the third attempt, which Jameson puts in. I thought we totally deserved the win. I genuinely do. And Griffin Reinhardt getting that goal, which we had a great angle on from where we are in the comedy box, was an absolutely outstanding finish. Great play by Jeff Baum to keep it in the zone. Gary giving it across. And then obviously Reinhardt stepping up and putting a top shelf. So I thought we totally deserved the win. I thought we controlled the majority of the game. But again, you know, it's one of them ones, Paddy, where you mentioned right at the right start, you're only 1 goal up going into the third period. It can go either way. But luckily enough, we managed to make the points.
Control, Davey. I think that's the upward from Sis there. Despite the fact that, you know, it was only a 1 goal game going into the third, the Giants did tend to be in control of most of that game.
Yeah, and we talked in the Coventry game about being, Simons mentioned about being the bodies down. I was talking earlier about, you know, time on ice. And like I said, Jeff Baum, I think it was 28, 29 minutes or something on Saturday night. Reinhardt, Rain, all those guys are basically playing every other shift. They pretty much played with two D turns. Gary was having to play up front at times. So, you know, credit those guys. That's a massive, massive chunk of change to have to play half a game at this intensity. Because Fife just didn't go away. And the last goal is probably my favourite in the night. Sam kind of touched on it there. You know, Reinhardt takes a lovely feed from Gary down the left wing, and he just ever so slightly flexes as if he's going to pass. And he just drops the right shoulder an inch, and it's put up over the top of it. And I think you were possibly commentating with Longer, was it, on Saturday night? And yes, talking about NHL quality shot, which it was. There's nowhere to put that, and he's put it right up there, popped the water bottle, which is always great to see. And, you know, that was the kind of insurance goal for us to go on then in the last quarter, sort of 5 minutes, and that put Fife to bed at that stage. It was another game where we kind of dominated in the face-off circle, and when we dominate in the face-off circle, I've talked about it for 10 years, we dominate possession, and when you've got possession, it helps when you're short bodies that you're not chasing the puck. And, you know, we did simple things very well on Saturday, and we chipped it out of our own zone when we had to. We worked very hard. We worked hard on the forecheck as well when we had to, and as Simon has said about Carter and Matt getting their shifts, four shifts each, and that's four shifts that the other guys don't have to play, which just keeps them that little bit fresher for that last 5 minutes when we had to go to work to just see the game out. So credit to them, they've done themselves really proud. Simon will talk about it on Sunday night. It doesn't come across when you're watching it on the tape as much as it does when you're in person, but when those kids are stepping out on the ice, the arena is coming to life. This is what, you know, the change in atmosphere when those young guys, because the crowd want to embrace them. They're representing us even more than the guys that are coming in from North America to do, because they're local lads. And, you know, credit to them. They did themselves no harm at all.
Quick note about the teddy toss as well. You see after that first goal goes in for those on YouTube, says, you know, a hell of a lot of teddies going on. Was the big brown bear thrown on?
Big brown bear was there, mate. Yep, absolutely. The you know, it's fantastic what the Giants fans do. You know, they embrace everything that we put together with regards to charitable needs, and obviously the teddy bear toss for the local hospitals. It's going to the Royal and the Ulster, and there is somewhere else. I just can't remember where it is. But I have to give a mention. And but remember, we had a conversation at the end of last week's podcast about Laura Small. And I said that she wouldn't be happy with it, and she wouldn't. I got a talking to her in the next morning. the morning after. She wasn't happy about getting all the adulation, even though it is totally deserved with it. But Laura and Karen went in early on Sunday morning to get all the teddy bears sorted, to get all of them packed in for each hospital. You always get people, you know, they're asked to bring them in bags. You always get people who walk past it and then throw the teddy bear on them. When it hits the ice and it gets wet, you have to throw it out. You can't send it to the hospital. It's, you know, it's got to be clean and new. And they went in early Sunday morning to get all those teddy bears all off the rack in the boxes and ready to go to the hospitals, which I believe is tomorrow on Thursday. I think the players are taking to tomorrow on Thursday. So, you know, another big pat in the back to Laura and Karen.
Probably NI Hospice is the other one.
NI Hospice, that's the other one, yeah.
Sorry, I was really fortunate. I went up there with Smo a couple of years ago. We took the Elite League trophy up during the in between the Liberettes and who was the second, the German team we played?
Augsburg.
So in between those games, we went up that day and we took the trophy around a few nursing homes and stuff. And the work that the staff do up there is just, it was a day that'll live with me for a long time. I'd never been to the hospice or a hospice before. You know, I've been to nursing homes and I've been to hospitals and stuff, but different level going up that hospice. And just the work that the manager is and all the staff do up there is unbelievable. And Laura's always up there doing stuff. So, like, you know, Simon's already give her a nod there. But, like, what those people do is just incredible.
Yeah, it's a credit. It's a credit to Laura, and it's a credit to the Belfast Giants fans who came out, like you say, with their generosity. Yep. And it was also, just to touch on it, because it was mentioned last week with Laura, the other stuff that went on with the donor discussion and the stuff with young Dahi looked great, sis.
Yeah, he's such a nice kid.
Great energy, that kid.
100%. You know, he came down on Saturday morning. Laura organized for him and his parents to come down Saturday morning, watch the morning skate, all the boys were on the ice on Sunday morning. They gave them the fist bumps, and then Taff got a stick for him, and he's running about with a stick and putting the people's legs and what have you. And it's great to see. But I mean, we've all got kids, and we have no idea what this family has to go through, and obviously waiting for the right donor to come along for Di. But he's just one of the nicest kids. Massive Giants fan. And he's got the character he has, the personality he has, it just shines through as well. And his dad, both his mom and dad speak very, very well. They did the interview with UTV. Laura was on that as well. And it was shown on UTV, I think it was last Friday night or Saturday or something. But again, all the work that goes into that, and hopefully, you know, I know that they're very, very, I know that Di's parents were very, very positive with the way the Giants and everything that the Giants did on Saturday night for them. I've still seen some of the posts and tweets that are coming out from them over the last few days as well. So it's great to see another string to the bow for the Giants, because everything they do, again, Laura is involved in it. And she, you know, the time and effort that she puts into it and the passion that she puts into it as well has been absolutely outstanding for over the number of years.
Here, here. Well done.
I'm going to get more chicken in the hole tomorrow morning.
You are. I just wanted to push that a little bit more so you got another one. Yeah. No, fantastic. And congratulations to everybody involved. A wonderful thing to see and a wonderful way for it all to be put together. We're going to move on. Sorry, the highlights of that game, obviously, Belfast Giants TV. And we're going to move on to Sunday afternoon. The Belfast Giants invited in the Nottingham Panthers for the first time this season. And it was a win. And it was a tight win. It was, and I'll bring it up on the screen because I want to do that first. It was a 7-2 smashing for the Belfast Giants over the Nottingham Panthers. Tyler Soy, we'll come to that in a second. Tyler Soy, the opening goal in the power play. Kevin Rain and Lewis Hook made it 3-0 before Jeremy Welsh made it 3-1. Scott Conway on the power play made it 4-1. And Matthew Lane scored the only other goal for the Nottingham Panthers to make it 4-2. I think it was Lewis Hook, Scott Conway, and Scott Conway again with his hat-trick to make it 7-2 to your Belfast Giants in nets. Tyler Beskarowani, the home goalie, 27 shots against, 2 goals against. Kevin Carr started the game. He's 22 shots against, 3 goals against. Fortunately, he took an injury in a collision with our guest this evening in Jordan Boucher and left the game after 34 minutes. William Curlin came in to play the remaining 25. He faced 12 shots and conceded 4 goals. Your referees on the night were Tom Perring and Stefan Hogarth. Davey, I'll start with you. We got a tweet in from a P. Smith in Manchester. And I wonder, would you agree with him when he says, yeah, slap it up, yes!
Look, beating the Panthers by 5 clear goals twice in a matter of weeks is always going to put a smile on my face, let's be honest. And let's just do a little thing Mian says here. Let's analyse each of these goals for what they were. That first one where I think it's Hookie just pops it off the wall and Soy steps into the slot and gets that lovely shot away. And we talked about it on the podcast last week. Maybe he just needs a little bit of confidence. He just goes low glove, bang, back in net, and all of a sudden, and that gave me one of the best pictures I've seen in the Belfast Giants. Jordan Boucher loved that. That was absolutely incredible. Then we go on to the second goal. I know the first one's replaying here. The second goal was all Kevin Rain. He comes out from his own D zone, goes the whole way up the left wing, do what we do well against the Nottingham Panthers, gets it in behind him and goes to work. This is what we've found a way of playing against the Nottingham Panthers, which is just to go to work on them. Rainer goes in, wins his own forecheck, and does what we haven't been doing. Goes to the front of the net. And you go to the front of the net, what happens? Sometimes you get a little bit of puck luck. And all it's 2-0. Says, take it away, take 3 and 4.
The third goal was Lewis Hooks, wasn't it?
Here it comes.
Yeah, Turkey's third goal. But the big part that's about this, we were 2-0 up, less than a minute into the second period, and it's Tyler Soy. All Tyler Soy. Round behind, he pokes the puck away from the defenseman, who has just flattened his feet, round behind the net, no look pass out front for Lewis Hook to slot home his first and his 8th goal of the season. The kid, Soy, had a really, really good start on Saturday night. I mean, they get one back with a mistake by Besko. Doesn't happen very often with a stick. And then they go to work on the power play again. Great movement around the outside, top of the triangle, getting a one-time pass across for a, a one-timer from Scott Conway for his first lead. And again, just watch, look at the Nottingham Panthers players coming off the ice there. Heads down, don't know what to be at. No interest in being there. We absolutely dominated them. Takeaway number five, Davey.
Look, this is a little bit like the performance in Nottingham a few weeks ago. We have two goals there where Soy's gone behind the net and played that quick pass back short side, and Hookies came in and had the one-timer. But it's all coming from that suffocating forecheck. And then, of course, this one, JJ Pickenich has driven and taken the defence away. Scott Conway still has a lot of work to do there. But the confidence of the guy and Curlin, unfortunately for him, just can't. The Keith Houchin diving header in the back of net there. One for the kids to look up on Wikipedia there, 1987 FA Cup final.
Spurs.
What's up?
It was against Spurs. Shut up.
Yep. Oh, sorry. That's right, Coventry. That was a John Stillett, wasn't it? The wee man from Coventry. No longer with us, sadly. And then, of course, we'll come to the last goal there with Max Stewart becoming the second youngest Giant to score a point. Obviously, we're right on Twitter there. Of course, Blake McGackie holding the record for the youngest scorer. And, of course, our best wishes to Blake. I'm sure he'll be listening to the podcast. So, hiya, mate. A really, really, really good performance. Like, you love beating the Panthers on any day of the week, but to beat them by five twice in a number of weeks, as we've said. And what we've been doing well over the last number of weeks when we're winning games, and we're short on bodies, are you said about it, Simon, you know, water, we're four or five down, we're having to, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, we're having to put Carter Hamill, Max Stewart, Adam Robinson into the lineup, and they did well, but the preference would be to be playing the Darcy Murphys, the Cam Knights, the other guys that are right injured. So all they can do is take the opportunities as they come along, learn from it, grow from it, and be ready to go when they're called upon. I think Kiefer referenced Carter Hamill in his post-match interview. He says, doesn't matter, half 10, 11 o'clock at night, I need you at practice. Wee man's dying. Being as good a pro, learning from the pros, being as good as he can, and just hoping for that opportunity. And like, dream come true. Have to mention his mom at this stage. Somebody who has probably missed a handful of Giants games in her whole life.
Yep.
Unsung hero, sitting in that cold box every week, week in, week out, doing the scorekeeping for the Giants. And absolutely,
it's not his mom, it's his auntie. That's Juliana's auntie.
Sorry. Didn't know that, mate. Sorry. Apologies.
It's used to her if it's her mom.
Auntie, I just always thought it was their kids. Sorry. Auntie Julianne, but big, you know, props. She'll be very, very excited to be seeing his name on the team sheet in front of her. But what a weekend for Soyze. What a weekend for JJ. What a weekend for Conway. The boys put a big shift in. Griffin Reinhardt again, I think it was 29 plus minutes against the Panthers on Sunday afternoon. And that 5-on-3 goal, I really like this because it's the quick 1-2 pass that splits the D, makes the three triangle that they've got in there just open up. Conway's tapping the stick, give me it, one timer, back on it. Curlin, we'll maybe come on now to a big incident in the game, if you want to tell. It wasn't a turning point. Carr had played exceptionally well.
Before you get to that, David, okay. You just mentioned it. Carr was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
35, 36 minutes that he played. It was 3 or 4-1 before he left the game.
It was
3-1 when he left the game.
Or maybe 4, actually, Sam.
I don't think Tim Wallace would have a problem if we had scored 7 goals at that stage. He was absolutely probably one of the best displays I've seen. His movement was very good. He was seeing the puck really, really well. But I mean, we just dominated, absolutely dominated from start to finish.
There's a level there, says, just to bring it in, is the fact that one of the things I took away from, other than that we had an absolute stunning game on the ice. The Panthers are soft. They're soft down the middle. We cut them open time and time and time again.
It was the speed.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts from the first goal. I mean,
just like the game in Nottingham.
Yeah, Davey touched on the first the play by Hookie along the wall. But Bush picks the puck up. I think he's right at our bench when he picks the puck up, comes straight across the blue line. They're chasing shadows. And it's all about Bush's speed, because when he comes into the zone, he goes wide. Their defenseman follows him out to open the space for Soy to go into. Soy takes the ice and scores the goal. And again, with Hookie just keeping his head up after that pass from Bush, little touch, head up, throws it into the top of the circle. And Soyze steps in. Our speed absolutely killed him. And they could not contain it. The same we went the first game on 29th of October, I think it was. We absolutely dominated them. You can't beat them enough. If we had scored 11, I'd have been over the moon. But, you know, it's one of the things where we all love to see the Panthers getting beat every single game, whether it's against us or not. And again, when they play against us in a couple of weeks' time, I hope we beat them another 5 goals, if not more.
I think the proof of that is if anybody wants to go and look at the two highlights from the Fife game and from the Nottingham game, and the goal, the opening goals for the Belfast Giants in both cases, the opening goal for the Belfast Giants, Simon Kitchen goes, and it's the opening goal for the Belfast Giants, the opening goal against Nottingham Panthers, and it's a goal!
Yeah, 100%. You guys, all over it, man. 100%.
Absolutely hyped up, dude. But, Dave, you mentioned it there. Not necessarily a turning point, because we were already quite dominant in the game and Carr was keeping them in. But a key point, and something that you could see on the bench that Tim Moss was not happy with, was the incident that took Carr out of the game. Now, to me, it's an open and shut case.
Would this not be a good time to bring our guest in?
You can bring him in. I've got a little bit of video analysis here, Simon. So by all means, he can come in and throw his tuppence worth on it. Well,
do you want to do that? Should we bring him in?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know who it is.
Well, first of all, let's bring in Mr. Joel Neal. Hello, Joel.
Hello, friends. I've just been, watching.
Not that guest.
Right, okay. Well, if the main guest is ready to go, he's having a bit of a drink, so I'll let him finish his drink. And then we'll bring him in. Please welcome as part of the fan agenda and... to give us a bit of his chat on the game is Jordan Boucher. How are you doing, mate?
What's up, guys? I'm doing good.
Turn your camera around.
This way?
Turn your camera around, I'll do it. There we go. Right, that's a bit better. Yeah, YouTube. Right, let's start quickly. Well, Davey, do you want to start it from here with regards to what you wanted to say?
Okay, well, you've got the video. You run VT, Paddy, but you were talking about Tim Wallace being unhappy with this incident where Carr gets hurt. And, like, if you can put the video on there, like, there's absolutely no question that Jordan Boucher has got any culpability in this. The cross-check from the D-man takes him in. I don't know if you've got the video or not. The skates are clearly pointing across the blue paint. He's going away or across the blue paint at least. It gets cross-checked into him. So the play develops and it ends up Max Stewart and stuff get involved and would turn the puck over. Bush comes around with speed around the outside, going for a goal, and you'll see where I pause it here in a wee second. If we just let it run a wee second there, Paddy.
Silence for people not watching on YouTube.
As a D-man would, without knowing really what's going on there, likes to get involved in a little bit of a scrum. But the ref already has the hand up. He's calling the penalty. And I think at that stage, Simon's going mental on. But here, Bush, if you look at his skates, and I think I throw a wee arrow in here as well, is already skating. Look at that. Look at that. That's like, this is like NHL on the fly. He's skating away from that. It's Broussard, or is you call it Broussard? Says
Broussard, yeah.
You know, cross checks him. And look, nobody likes to see anyone getting hurt. And so, unfortunately, the car went out of the game. We were still winning the game at this, we were going on to win it easy enough, although we had a good game. But Tim Wallace can be as grumpy as he wants about it. There's no fault on Jordan Boucher whatsoever in that instant.
Do you agree with that, Jordan Boucher?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, my goal wasn't to hurt him. I was trying to cut to the middle, and I think after talking with Hoagie, well, he kind of came to me and he said that he saw me kind of try to dodge Carr and kind of like just skate in front of him, and then I got pushed in by Broussard, and also Carr was a little bit outside of his crease, so there was like no way for me to dodge him, and unfortunately I hit him. But I tried to get out of the way, but it happened. I don't know.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate incident, and let's go out to Kevin Carr. Hopefully, he's back in the game pretty soon. It was what just gives your take on the game as a whole, that Nottingham game, because you probably heard the guys talking here and saying we were killing them with the speed. More or less true.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year overall, our best games have been the one that we've used our speed the most. I think it's a big strength of ours, and against Nottingham, we had a short bench, and we try to play it safe and just keep our feet moving, and we got rewarded that way. But yeah, I think from playing other teams and talking to other opponents, every time they're kind of saying every time that we're the fastest team out there. And they're the one that having the hardest time handling our speed. So it's kind of good hearing from them that we have really good speed.
Yep. We'll leave that game there because we've got a few other things to touch. You can get the highlights from Belfast Giants TV of all 9 goals, 7 of which to the Belfast Giants. A 4-point weekend for your Belfast Giants puts them up, I believe, in the second place, as I try to pull up the standings on the screen in front of me. Pull them up in the second place behind the Sheffield Steelers, who will face this weekend. We'll go straight in then with Joel joining us.
Hold on. Davey touched on it there before the boys come on, and about the increase in volume in the arena when the kids got on the ice.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And when at the time when Scott Gordon scored the goal and the last hat trick goal and the puck broke free, I was watching the play. I don't know who poked it across. It's one of them ones where the referee could actually just say, well, look, it's unassisted. The last man to touch it was a Nottingham Panther defenseman. It came across. Collins was in the right place at the right time. But when it was announced that Max Stewart got his assist and Joel was in the arena, and obviously Bush was there as well on the ice, the arena just lifted. It was probably one of the loudest cheers that we'd had in the arena all weekend. And everybody was cheering for every Belfast Giants goal, believe you me. But for me, Mac, to get his assist on that on the evening itself. And then at the end of it, the end of the game, Stewie Senior was walking about like a Cheshire cat. He was coming in to get food after the game. And I says, all right, Stewie. And Stewie doesn't say much. You know, he sort of just nods his head and walks past. Hey, Kitchy, yeah, great, yeah, good. I'm going, you all right? normally doesn't say anything. He just comes in, gets food, and goes back to the coach's room. But he looks super, super proud, and rightly so.
I believe then Max Stewart becomes the first, Rob and Mac became the first father-son duo to score a point for the Belfast Giants.
David? Unless Dave Whistle ever suited up in year one, though. No. I don't think Whistle's got an assist.
I can't think
either.
Of any other opportunity where that would even have happened.
So no, the only sort of comparable, I guess, that was the Belfast Giants won their second ever game and 1,000 games apart, or 1,002nd game, Jackson Whistle won his first game. So it was like a perfect storm there, 1,000 games apart, but that's the only father-son combos there's been.
Jordan, sorry, Paddy, for taking over. Jordan, what was it like in the room after the game? Obviously, a big win against the Nottingham Panthers, but Wee Mac getting his first goal and somebody presented the puck to him.
I think Longer gave it to him. Longer gave him the puck. Everybody was really happy for him. And I don't know, the atmosphere in the room was electric. I mean, not just for the Nottingham game, but the whole overall weekend, I think. Just like I said, we're having a short bench. It required a big effort from all of us there. So everybody was really happy. It was awesome.
How important is it for like we spoke last week as well, this Slater Doggett about a similar thing. You know, your take of it, having these young lads in the room, you know, in Carter and Mac and Cal, you know, and you know, they're learning and getting these opportunities. Well, you guys are, you know, you guys are the seasoned pros. You know, how good is it having these young lads in the room, being able to take that ice time and develop in front of you?
It's great. I mean, I'm sure they're enjoying their time with us as well. We try to make them as comfortable as they can be around the rink. Obviously, I think it's our duty as the pro guys to teach them the right way to play the game, and hopefully they can learn from us and just kind of get a career going as well. You know, that's we would be happy for them if it happened as well. So I think everybody's kind of looking out for them.
Absolutely. Well, like I say, we'll move on from that. The game, the highlights are available on YouTube from Belfast Giants TV. A 7-2 win for your Belfast Giants, like I say, puts them in second place behind the Sheffield Steelers, who they are 6 points behind with a game in hand, and they'll play the Sheffield Steelers, obviously, Friday and Saturday of this week coming. And we'll move swiftly on to what we call the fan agenda. We already have our guest, Jordan Boucher, right here. Davey, you have a little bit of an introduction for him.
I do, Paddy. You know... Jordan spoke there about, you know, the importance of a professional teaching the young lads, and sometimes fate on the show we don't always bring the fans along with us. Oh, Paddy's gonna like really try and say, I want to take you back, Jordan, to just an 8-year-old boy in Montreal, Quebec, 2002. it was the 26th of October. You were probably preparing for Halloween with your parents. But over in Belfast, we were also lining up against the Nottingham Panthers. At the end of the game, a bit of a scrum arose, and our enforcer at the time, Patrick Shelty, got involved in a nice one-on-one battle with Christian Tobert. The video footage come up here now. Those dirty Panthers wanted to get a bit more involved, and Barry Nightcar stripped off his kit and came in and sucker punched Paxton Shelty in the back of the head and caused him some irreversible physical and emotional damage. And from that moment on, our hatred of everything yellow began. We never forgive, we will never forget. And that is why 2 points against the Nottingham Panthers is much more important than 2 points against any other team. And why, whenever we beat them by 5 goals twice this season, we have to say to you, thank you very much, and we owe you all the beers.
No problem.
You like that, Joel?
That was so beautiful. Yeah. That Paddy's gone. There he is.
Don't know what happened there.
I'm ready to run through a wall here. That was beautiful.
So if every time we play the Nottingham Panthers, you just can do something similar, you'll make an old man very happy.
Perfect. I had no idea. This is the first time I've heard this story.
Hit them.
Yeah, sounds good.
I dread to think what was said after I dropped out there, boys.
Watch it back tomorrow at 8 a.m., Paddy.
I can't. Oh, well, indeed. Jordan, you know, obviously, you can see the passion that Davey has for that victory. You know, what has been your impression of, you know, Belfast, of the team, of since you've come in here the last couple of weeks, or a couple of months, sorry?
I mean, my time here has been great so far. I think hockey-wise, we have a great team, like I said. The chemistry is great. Feels like every guy is buying in their system, and you can see the results right now. Just kind of like getting some wins out of there. And Belfast as a city has been, it's been great. I mean, people are friendly. The beer is good. The restaurants are great, but it's hard to get places at restaurants. I feel like it's always sold out. Like I'm trying to, without a reservation, I barely get any seat at the, in the restaurant. But no, other than that, Belfast has been great, and we're just really enjoying my time here.
If Ciz can't get you a table at any restaurant you want, there's something wrong here. That big man has connections that go deep in this city. So
we're trying to sort of something.
It's always sold out. I feel like it's always sold out.
If anybody can fix it, Big Ciz can. Anyway, I'll go on to and something that you said there, Jordan, about, you know, enjoying yourself. It is so obvious. And we spoke earlier before you came on, that first goal that Soisy, Hookie drops it into him, he steps into the circles and puts that bottom corner. And, you know, it's been tricky at times for Tyler, but we talked about him on the show last week, saying maybe a goal for a bit of confidence. The smile on the guys' faces to see a teammate who's maybe been a bit under the pump coming up with one, it's like the picture of the weekend.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, everybody was really happy for Soisy. I feel like Nottingham's been his team this year, though. When we played in Nottingham, he also had 2 assists, maybe, or he also scored. Yep. I don't know. He was on the score sheet. And then this weekend, unbelievable game against on Sunday. That was just a great goal. It just feels good to, I think, get the monkey off his back. Hopefully he'll keep building up from it. So we were all really happy from him.
Jordan, cool. I just want to take it back to, I want to ask you about your own game. Who did you look up to when you were a kid? What sort of player was your idol? Who, I mean, obviously, growing up in Montreal, Quebec area, were you a Canadiens fan? And was there players there, or was there somebody out throughout the NHL that you sort of looked up to and went, I want to model my game on him?
Well, my team growing up was the Avalanche, because they were Quebec before, and my dad was a big Quebec fan. So they moved to Colorado, and then he kind of just got me to watch their game. And I was a big Joe Sakic fan. I love the way Peter Forsberg played, a lot of grit. That whole team is unbelievable. Rob Blake, he juked. It was just really, it's a really good team. And that's kind of the players I looked up to growing up. I would say Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg. And then whenever I played in Sweden 2 years ago, I got a lot of insight on Peter Forsberg, how he was as a player before going into the NHL, and it was really cool for me to learn. So, Yeah, I would say Joe Sakic or Peter Forsberg probably.
Jordan, if you don't mind, I'd like to dip kind of into your own career. It's one of my favorite things to do, I guess, whenever we have new players join us, just to see hockey's such a small world. And normally at some point, you've crossed paths with someone that we know or love from Belfast. You spent 2017-18 with the Laval Rocket in the AHL. And if I'm right, you were teammates with one Kyle Bonn that season. Would that be right?
Yeah, Bonn.
So from what I hear, Bonner kind of talked to you about that Belfast experience. Was that any sort of the early sort of seeds of you coming here? The conversations that happened with Adam Keefe. And what did Kyle Bonn tell you about his time here? And how was that season playing alongside him with Laval?
So Kyle Bonn was a really, really big factor into why I came here. He's the one that kind of like sold me on it towards the end of my decision. He really spoke highly of Belfast as a city and the organization. And whenever he came here, he told me that we kind of felt the same way. Like he said that he was towards the end of his career and he was kind of sick of the grind, just the traveling and the overall hockey grind. And he said that Belfast gave him kind of the joy back of playing hockey. And for me, whenever he said that, I was kind of feeling the exact same way. I was like, oh. That when he told me that, it really sold me on the fact of coming here. And I was like, oh, there's something special about this place. And well, me and Bonn were pretty close friends in Laval. We hung out a lot. And I just trust his word, right? And whenever he told me that, I was I knew he was a good guy. And he also sold me on the school. He said that they had a good school program, which kind of I related to. So yeah, definitely. Bono definitely sold me on the, as Belfast as a whole, and whenever he said that, I decided to sign with the Giants.
He was someone who wasn't here for very long, but he really captured the imaginations and the similarities between him and yourself. I hope that we have you for much longer than we had Kyle Bonn. But I guess my follow-up question to that would be, now that you're bedded in and you're settled, you know, I see you and you're in your apartment there. Has it sort of lived up to what Bonner told you? Is it what you expected coming here? The city, the fan base, the culture of the club, the energy of the club? Does it translate from what you were told?
Yeah. So far, yes. And I'm guessing it's only going to build up from here as well. The hockey's been great. You know, I've been having a lot of fun this season. And it's kind of what's been...
Oh,
we've had to drop out, unfortunately, just as we're about to go to the Twitter. Quite interesting, just on that point you said about Kyle Bonn, Davey, it's so key that some of these players become our greatest recruiters. And we talked about Darcy Murphy previously, and there we have Kyle Bonn as one of the recruiters for Jordan Boucher.
I would say these guys all reference each other, whatever it is, 6 degrees of separation, as Joel says. You know, everyone knows someone that has probably at least known someone that has played for the organization over the years. Simon quite closely involved over the last lot of years, even before he started with the organization, with the OSC, and all the little tiny things that probably get done for players here that don't get done in other cities. And you only have to look at the amount of players over the course of the last 21 years that have came and either stayed multiple years or made Belfast their home. Got their hooks into by a woman and all of a sudden they're here forever. You know, whether, right, you know, married off children and all of a sudden, well, this is Belfast, your home now, you know. So it's our greatest recruitment tool. You know, you're saying our greatest recruitment tool is former players. Our greatest recruitment tool is the beautiful women of Belfast, obviously. But, you know, and I always say that with a bit of a laugh, but it's serious. It's great that those guys like Bonner came here, enjoyed their season so much that they're willing to go and say to someone else, this is a place to play hockey. I wasn't enjoying my hockey. I wasn't enjoying the grind. But now I've came to Belfast and I've got a love back for the game and you'll enjoy being there. And as I said to Jordan earlier, he is playing the game with the biggest smile on his face. You're trying to tell me he's not enjoying it out there? And, you know, we spoke to Dogs last about... I guess with being so many bodies down, the guys are having to play so many minutes. And sometimes that's a bad thing because it's obviously tiring, but sometimes it's just, you just want to be out there. It's like Simon will say about, you don't want to train, you just want to play games. And I guess on a game night, you just want to be on the ice as much as you can. And, you know, the D-men are playing 30 minutes each, more or less. They're on every other shift. But the forwards are playing, some of the forwards, 25, 26 minutes. Like the top six are all 20, 22 minutes plus, you know, so they're on the ice every second shift, every third shift, so they're getting a lot of looks at the puck, and that's why they're scoring all the points. And the likes of JJ, once he gets hot, and Conway just goes and stands in the right place. That's where his genius lies. He knows how to get. He lets Hookie. He spoke about it himself. He lets Hookie do those dirty work, get in front of the net. Same with Big Coops. Adam referenced him about him being just solid. He can put him out with anyone, and he will do a job. Wants to keep Conway, Hookie, and JJ together. It's just been really, really fun to watch over the last couple of weeks.
Just a follow-up on that. Sorry, Paddy. One of the reasons I love asking those questions about crossovers is that you see that, you nearly get that validation. Like, Kyle Bond, when he was here, was beloved. He was only here for a very short time, but he's someone who, the way he played the game and his personality, just captured the Giants fan base. And it's so lovely to hear that he's moved on with his career, but he's still telling those stories. And you sometimes sit there and wonder if they feel it too. You know, guys that are coming from the other side of the world to play hockey, they've been through a lot of teams in their career. You wonder if they feel that energy and if they actually properly resonate with it. And you can tell when somebody's, you know, 1,000 miles away sitting in an AHL locker room telling a teammate about, oh man, Belfast is fantastic. There's no onus on him to do that. He's doing that off his own bat. And it just reinforces to me that the culture of the club, the way the players are treated and whatever else, that it actually rings true and that it gets through to them as much as it means to us.
Well, we have him back. He's, I believe his phone died. But he's back with us. Jordan, how's it going?
Absolute rookie move.
sorry, guys.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. But what we'll do is I was just about to go on to a couple of questions from, we put it out to Twitter as we normally do. Jordan, we got a couple of questions from the fans, and I'll throw a couple at you now. Teal Trooper, do you feel any difference in the game compared to your time in Germany and Sweden?
I think a little bit, especially if you compare it to Sweden. I think Sweden was a very, very fast league. I think it's probably the fastest league in the whole world, honestly. It's a different type of hockey over there. They don't hit as much, and it's a lot more controlled. There's not much dumping the puck in. It's more about the controlling the play. I would say that was the biggest difference. But with Germany, it kind of plays the same way, right? I think this league in Germany can relate a lot more to American style hockey, which it's more gritty. You know, there's a lot more. It's just a similar style of play. You know, it's hard, and there's guys are finishing their checks, and I would say those are the like biggest comparison and similarities.
One from Alan Price: the number 28 hasn't been picked many times in Giants history. Probably best known is Jason Bowen, but you've pulled it on for Clarkson, Wolfsburg, and now Belfast. Why number 28?
Honestly, it was just a random pick. Well, number two is my favorite number, just overall. And I'm an even kind of guy. Like, I really like even numbers. And 28 kind of like 28 just came on my plate at Clarkson. Before that, I think And then whenever I got to Laval, they gave me 39. And I kept it in Orebro because, I don't know, it was my first pro number, and I just figured, why not? But then whenever I had the chance to switch back in Germany, I took 28 again. But there's no special meaning behind it.
I like that. There doesn't always have to be a reason, does it?
No, I love it.
Honestly, there's not, so I don't know. I can't make anything up.
We get those. We also get the ones of, you know, why are you this number? It's because it was the first number the coach handed me when I was like 15. There you go. That's your number now.
That's just it.
Fair enough. Last one from Twitter, Alan Brett. He said, well, something we just spoke about. Noticed you seem to enjoy going to the net. Is this an element of your game that was successful pre-Giants in the NCAA or in Europe?
Yeah, I think it's part of my game, definitely. It's just using my speed and kind of creating plays. It's not always going to be the pretty play. And especially in the last couple of years, my pro years, I've been more of a role guy. And taking pucks today was part of my play, playing physical, getting those dirty areas. And I feel like this season I've been trying to do that. And me and Kiefer has been kind of reminding me to do it because he's saying that kind of D's in this league might be a little slower than I'm used to, and I'll be able to go around them easier. So for me, it's just been taking pucks in the net, getting those dirty areas, and trying to create offense from that.
Jordan, we spoke to Slater last Tuesday night, I guess, and unfortunately he took a bit of a knock last Wednesday. About the adversity versus opportunity, I guess, of being short bodies, where okay, we're down bodies, but you know, guys are having to step up. The likes of the D are playing 30 minutes each, that a lot of the forwards are playing 24, 25, 26 minutes. And you know, would you rather have, obviously we would rather have the three plus three and three and a half lines, whatever, but just having that opportunity, you just want to be out on the ice all the time, even though we're five bodies down, you're playing two line hockey more or less.
I mean, I think of course you want the whole team. I think if we're gonna win a championship at the end of the season, we're gonna have to have full bodies on the bench. Of course, maybe one or two games with short bench. It's nice to get more ice time, but realistically, if we're gonna win games at the end of the season, we need full body. And I guess it was kind of nice this weekend to win with short bench, and everybody was happy because I think those wins are gonna pay off later on in the season when we're gonna have a full bench. And we're gonna look back and be like, "Well, we got the job done with a short bench, and that was really important for us." So it's kind of goes both ways. I think yes, it was fun to play short bench, but I think everybody knows that to win a championship, you need everybody on the team out there. So I mean, I'm hoping that everybody comes back as quick as they can.
And I guess one of the standard questions that we ask guys that come in here about the difference in our league championship being a little more important, you know. And 2 points in October, September, October, November being as important. And of course, points against the Panthers being even more important. But, you know, is that a little bit different for you, that, you know, that experience of you have to win in September just as much as you have to win in March?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I even think maybe the games right now are more important than they'll be in March. Just not, they'll be as important, but, you know, whenever you get into the dog days in the second half of the season, sometimes it gets long and the grind becomes real, you know, just right before the playoff. And I think those points early on in the season can make a really big difference if you can't keep the ball rolling as much during the second half of the season. So I think getting those wins right now will allow us to position ourselves well for the second half. And then we will be able to just keep on building. And because we're in that good position, get rewarded from it, kind of thing.
Bush, I want to talk about your skating ability. I haven't done it for quite a while, but I used to coach the kids in Dundonald. And one of the things that I kept on telling the parents was, you know, you need to learn how to skate before you play hockey. A lot of people in Northern Ireland especially think, oh, I'm going to go to the Belfast Giants game. And then they come away from a game of watching at the SSE Arena and go, I want to play ice hockey. So they go and buy 600-800 pounds worth of gear, and they get on the ice to start playing hockey. But and at that point, I was always telling them, look, you need to learn how to skate. Go and take skating lessons. Go and learn how you'd use your edges properly, first of all, before you actually start playing hockey. How important, I mean, you can see from your skating ability that your explosiveness is one of your main assets, in my opinion anyway. But how important was learning the development of learning how to skate as a young kid in Canada to get that development going forward up into the pro game?
I mean, especially nowadays, I think it's even more important, you know. The game of hockey is getting so fast. And it's like you said, I think it's the number one asset to have these days in order to make it, right? There's not one guy, either you're playing on the fourth line or the first line in the NHL, that can't really skate anymore. These guys are all excellent skaters. And yeah, for me as a kid, I did a lot of power skating. That was the main thing for me. I did some hockey camp, skill camps, but it was always the skating camps before touching the pucks. And luckily, I know it's my dad. He didn't really play hockey, but I guess for him, he figured out that skating would become really important, or he kind of saw how hockey was moving on to this kind of, or transitioning to this speed game, right? And so he really pushed me towards power skating instead of skills. Not saying that it's not important. It's as important. You should do both. But I really think that being a good skater nowadays will allow you to have a lot of success.
And I just want to ask you, obviously, you know, we know you went to Clarkson's, 4 years in Clarkson, but the last year in Clarkson, it would have been announced that Clarkson were coming to Belfast for the Friendship Four in November 2017. I'm assuming you were at the school when that was announced, and obviously you were in your last year and you were making the step up to pro. Is it one of those things where you thought that you really would have made the like to make the trip to Belfast at that point?
Oh yeah, 100%. I was totally bummed to miss that opportunity. I knew most of the guys that came here, and they all told me they really had a good time. They got to experience Belfast as well. It was kind of upsetting because we were just Clarkson was we were on a good trend, you know. We had a few difficult years before I got there, and we were just on the rise, and program was gaining a lot of popularity, and we just knowing that we were going to be able to go to Belfast was great. But yeah, I missed it by a year, so. But I'm happy that my ex-teammates got the opportunity to come. So it was.
Yeah, and the one big thing I remember about Clarkson when they were here, they brought their brass band.
Yeah, they did.
It was insane. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think we had one of the best bands in college, honestly. They followed us everywhere we went. It was unbelievable, especially playing at home with them. It was crazy. It was definitely years that I'll never forget.
We do have bands in Belfast, but it's of a different sort of we're not allowed to bring it and get it involved, you know. Shut up, David, stay away from
that. That Clarkson band took over what is known in the arena as Boomerang Corner, where all the righties are. And have we lost Bush? Is he still there?
I think we may have lost Bush again.
He's still there. That's all right. That Clarkson band just gelled with the arena that weekend, and there was a really, really hazy night that evening in Rockies. So they were fantastic. But just as a personal request, you know, Sis is talking about your skating there. I've noticed one particular move that you're trying. I think that you're trying to make it pay off at the minute anyway, where you're entering the zone on the wing on the forehand, cutting across the slot and trying to finish backhand. I see you do it maybe like couple times a game. I'm so invested in that paying off, so whenever it actually does, you wouldn't mind just pointing up the media, because I'm going to be going absolutely nuts. Just if that's all I need, if you would do that for me.
I'll do that for sure. I've been good. It's definitely coming. Yeah, I've tried that move a few times this season. It hasn't paid off, but I'm gonna stick to it because I know it's coming. So but next time when it goes in, I'll point at you for sure.
I really appreciate that. And Paddy, if you don't mind, just we're obviously heading into the Christmas period. You're obviously a long way from home, and you're here with the boys. What are the plans for Christmas? Obviously, COVID's being messy and whatever else. Are you getting some family visits, or are you going to spend Christmas Day together?
Yeah, I mean, my whole family's coming down, luckily.
Awesome.
My mom and dad are getting here tomorrow, actually. So that'll be pretty exciting. And then my brother and sister are getting here on Sunday, and the whole squad is staying for, I think, 3 weeks. So
awesome.
Yeah, it'll be Christmas and then New Year's. And we've booked a few things for New Year's and Christmas as well. I'm really excited to spend the New Year's in Belfast. I'm thinking it's going to be pretty wild, so I'm pretty excited.
That's awesome. Sorry, Paddy.
No, that's fantastic. But obviously you've got these two games on Friday and Saturday against the Sheffield Steelers. The last time round over in Sheffield, it didn't go anywhere near the way we wanted it to go. You owe them one.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's excited for that matchup, you know, first and second seeded going against each other at the SSC. It's something that we're still bitter about, that loss in Sheffield. I think obviously they scored, I think, 4 goals within the first 10 minutes. It was one of those bad games. But, you know, I think this season has been great so far, but we have not made that statement that that in order to become the best team, we need to beat the best teams, right? And we haven't made that statement. And I think this weekend is a really good opportunity for us to just make that statement and make it clear that, you know what, we're the best team in the league, you know? And it's just a prime opportunity, and I think everybody's ready to play their A game.
I think these last few months, and you know, this team that we've seen, and you've really become a fan favorite, not just through your style of play, and I'm sure words like that will cement that even more. Listen, thank you very much for joining us, mate. I'm going to go on. Says you want something?
Have you sent your Christmas card off to Kyle Haas yet?
We managed this whole interview. We managed this whole interview.
There were a few questions.
This guy is not getting a Christmas card. That hit is over with. He's not the smartest player out there. I think he's got, 160 pims in 16 games, 17 games. It's just, I don't know. It's a bit ridiculous, but it is what it is. And he got his 3 games. And we're just looking to make him pay next game. That's all it is.
There were quite a few questions from people on Twitter asking regards to Kyle Haas and this stuff. And one question asking if you've been to the Boucher Road yet. But on that, listen, mate, thank you very much for your time. Actually, I'm just going to cue Davey in, who's going to wish you well.
Yeah, merci beaucoup, monsieur, et bonsoir.
Hey, merci les boys.
Nice, Davey. Nice.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Bush.
absolutely brilliant from Jordan Boucher. Thank you very much to him.
What a guy, boy.
And thanks to everybody.
That was good. That was funny.
Your messages on Twitter.
Such a good lad. Really,
yeah, really good. Really good. And thanks again to him. Right, we're going to move it on. We're going to have a quick look at the player of the month results. We had four nominees: Mark Garside, Lewis Hook, Ben Lake, and Kieran Long. And the result with 57%. Went to Lewis. Says, I'll start with you, Hookie. Look, we even saw at the weekend just how well deserved that is.
8 goals are out of this season. The kid's on fire. And the big thing about it is he's played with everybody. That doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean. he's basically been up and down the lineup. He's been, we talk about it, the passport thing. Is it, has he been left out because of that? I don't think that is the case anymore with Lewis Hook. He's been really, really good. He's had opportunities on the top line. He obviously played with on the Dijon line with Bush and Longer, and obviously with the injuries and stuff like that. He's obviously picked up a couple of goals at the weekend with Bush and Tyler Soy. So look, I just think he's been. It's well worth the votes that have come in for him. The 57%. Hoogie, for me, has definitely been top notch so far this season. And there's still a long way to go, so hopefully he can get another number of goals as well.
Joel?
I've said it before, boys, I genuinely think you're looking at a future sort of British star in terms of a UK hockey player. I think he's got a long, long way to go in his career. He's still so young. He's going to be around for a very long time. Adam Keefe talked at the weekend after Sunday's game about how, and it's something we've talked about at length on this podcast, about how Hookie's returned after the shutout year and has added a shot to those fantastic feet that he was developed or that he had developed in his previous season here. It's so much fun to watch his entire game come together, and it's so much fun to see the potential that we knew he had when he got here continue to be fulfilled. I think, honestly, he's going to end up there with the... I used to talk about, Rob Dowd, Craig Peacock in his prime when the Giants were winning titles in 11-12. I think that's the kind of player you got on Lewis Hook, and he's still got so much longer to fulfill that.
David?
Love to see Brits getting themselves up on the top line, getting top minutes, getting power play time, getting penalty kill time. Love to see it. And he had a very strong month. Simon talked about the wrong passport there at the start. And I think there's an element in that at times right across the elite league. I'm not just saying Belfast. And sometimes they have to work that extra bit hard to get in because you've big investment in imports. You flew them here, you've visas, you've all this stuff in housing. You've got to invest big in them. So you have to, they're your horses, you go to them. These British guys sometimes have to really dig in, and Lewis has taken his opportunities with him. What is it, 8, 9, 10 goals or something now this season?
He's got 8 this season, yeah.
In terms of what he's done, it's his best season in the EIHL probably. He was at Milton Keynes maybe one season, had a few goals.
Yeah.
But, in terms of Giants, a leading amount of goals for the Giants, and we're only not even halfway through the season. So, he probably has some individual targets in the back of his head, what he'd like to reach, and he's doing really, really well. He's probably actually got in a much stronger position than he thought he would be at this stage of the season. Joel's just touched on it there. Love to watch him play, and we talked earlier on about what he's doing on that line. He's got a role on that line. JJ Pickenich has a role on that line, and Scott Conway has a role on that line, and they're all dovetailing absolutely perfectly. Lewis is there to make the space. JJ's there to make the plays. Scott Conway is there to add the finishing touches, and that line's really, really on fire at the minute. So congratulations to him. The big prize, and
the big prize
that awarded to him soon.
A line of two Englishmen and an American leading the way in the Belfast Giants. It's great. It is great to see. It is congratulations to Lewis Hook. I think it's thoroughly deserved. Not just for the way he's played through November, which is what the award's for, but the way he's just exploded into this season. He was brilliant in October. And he continues it right into December. And you saw it in the game against Nottingham at the weekend. You saw it in the game against Fife at the weekend. That line is playing really, really well. Hooky at this moment in time is a shoe-in for the GB team. The way he's playing coming into the Worlds after Easter. Go on, Davey.
Ice time and confidence.
Yeah.
You know, he's earned his ice time. Fair enough. He's absolutely earned the right to get those minutes. And with that comes confidence, and with that comes goals. It's a kind of, you know, that's not a vicious circle. What's a self-propelling circle or whatever. But, you know, Simon's going to add something to that.
Yeah, he for us, he's now been here 3 years. I'm just checking his stats there. He's more goals this season than what he has the first two seasons that he was with us as well. So, look, I just think he's getting better and better. And look, and that comes with experience as well. I mean, he's 20, is he 25 now? He's 25 now, you know, so he's not a kid anymore. Yeah, you know, so he's got a lot. He's learning every year. We'll talk about, you know, the development of British players in the league itself. And I still think he's developing. I still think he's got a lot to learn. I still think he's got a lot that he can improve on. And I know that he's taking that as well, because at the end of the day, if you keep thinking that you've just got to a level and you don't need to do anything to get any better, you might as well just give it up. So I think we're going to see a lot more from Lewis Hook over the next few years. Hopefully we can keep him. I know he loves Belfast, and hopefully, you know, we can go on to be and challenge a few records down the line, because I think he's a top lad.
You know, he wins the November Player of the Month award, the recent Rich Player of the Month award, sponsored by Phonacab, despite playing for the Nottingham Panthers in the last 12 months. congratulations to him. Thanks to everybody who voted, and we'll be back at the in January with the next to see who gets December's award. We spoke last week about the return of the Friendship Four, obviously taking place in November, the Thanksgiving weekend, November of next year. In the period break on Saturday, our good friend here, Mr. Kitchen, had the opportunity to chat with Robert Fitzpatrick about the NCAA Friendship Four, and we'll bring you that interview right now.
Robert, you guys work incredibly hard to get this here in the first place in 2015. You must be over the moon. This back,
it's transformational. It's like it hasn't been an easy time, this COVID period, for everybody. Everybody sort of had their days with them and down in the mouth. But last Friday night, watching congresswomen and governors and presidents of universities standing up in Boston to claim the experience in Belfast that their athletes have has been transformational for them. For me, I was very proud, and I am delighted, Simon. You're absolutely right.
And you know, we were talking before the game started tonight that when it was announced that it's, you know, we're coming back in 2022, all the athletic directors that from all the schools that have been here and others who want to come, whether on the phone to you or send texts or sending emails, yeah, everybody wants to come to Belfast.
We have built ourselves a huge reputation, not just in the Hockey East and the ECSE conferences, but you'll recall that the year before COVID we had three schools come from the Atlantic Conference. We obviously have other schools that are now sort of saying, well, what's going on in Belfast? Why is everybody lining up for this? And it's because of the effort and the belief that we have in the tournament. It's because of the hard miles that we've done in cultivating the relationships necessary to internationalise the tournament, to convince the NCAA to come to Belfast in the first place. But more importantly, I think it's because
hockey's the excuse. It's not really a hockey tournament per se, Simon. You know that. I mean, from the day one, we wanted the impact on our youngsters. We wanted the student athletes that were coming here to leave this place with a smile on their face. Some of them have never travelled before. Some of them don't have passports.
Yeah.
So the idea that we could be instrumental in shaping their thought process about what this place is like, or in some cases, giving them a taste of what this place is like and then re-recruiting them to come back as Giants.
Yep.
All of that has, I suppose, tapped into the subconsciousness of hockey in Boston and hockey in the conferences, and they're going, we better go and check this out.
Yeah. And it's not just the NCAA men's side of things. We've already hosted the NCAA women's championship game as well in Quinnipiac and Northeastern.
That's right.
And there's an opportunity again moving forward. Is there opportunity for women's hockey to come back to Belfast?
Oh, women will be back, yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if I have my way, so we've announced 2022. I'm very hopeful that January 23 we'll have a women's game. We're working on another bigger project for 23, and then we return with French or 4 and 24. Now that, trust me, is worth waiting on.
I know. We've chatted about this. I'm busting for this to get out, because again, it's something that, as an organisation, and I mean, we're in our 10th year now of organisation of the Belfast Giants.
We're
growing every year.
That's right.
You must be happy the way the trajectory of the Belfast Giants has gone over those years.
Until the city of Belfast realises that we're here to stay and that we need a rink. And until there's a second rink appears in Belfast, our work is still to be done.
Yeah.
The reality of it is that, you know, you can go into Boston and shake a stick at the ice rinks. Go into Belfast. And other than for the vision that Dundonald have shown all of these years, the ambition that they have going forward, with us being a part of them. But another rink isn't a threat to the institution that is Dundonald.
Yeah.
Another rink is an elevation for, you know, the 150,000 people a year that call ice hockey their first sport.
Yeah.
So for me, yes, I'm delighted. Of course I am. And I mean, we've won championships on the rink. We've had tournaments on the rink. We've had world championships. We've had, who'll ever forget the Continental Cup final? Who'll ever forget that?
Yeah.
But we haven't got a rink.
Yeah.
And let's get a rink.
And we talk again. You just don't stop. I mean, last week, Andy, I mean, the 4 days that you spent in Boston, you've already talked about it. You're still recovering from that, because even today you had a nap in the afternoon, which is very unlikely. But you know, it's that hard work that you put in those 4 days when you're in Boston that is leading to 23, 2024, 2025 moving forward.
It is. I mean, you know. No, that's not to say we're doing it on our own. We've got, I've talked many, many times about this philosophy of discipleship. Joe Britannia. Joe Britannia will become the next ambassador to the Friendship Four, because Joe's hockey knowledge.
Absolutely.
And he's offered it to us for Belfast.
Yeah.
And Steve Hagwell, and Steve Metcalf, and Ralph Cox, and Sarah Fraser. We've got people that might as well live here.
Yeah.
The affinity they have for this tournament. And every single day, they're talking to Steve, they're talking to me, they're talking to Victoria, they're talking to each other, and they're saying, how can we make this tournament better? And we're going, bring it on, guys.
Absolutely.
It's we've infected them with our enthusiasm, we've infected them with our professionalism, but I think most of all, it's the unique way in which we went about essentially internationalizing college sport.
Yeah.
And we've done it in a way now that many will follow, few will beat.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of these ones where, and I'm lucky enough, I get to, you know, to do what I do for the Belfast Giants.
That's correct.
And I'm watching you, I mean, for people that don't know this, so I'm watching the game down here, and literally within 10 feet of me, Robert's either listening to what I'm saying, or he's got his own view on the games itself. Now, sometimes he gets a little bit too involved in the games, and that's where I'm coming to, because over those 10 years of ownership of the Belfast Giants, you can see, as a fan of hockey, when it started, you know, you're obviously a Runnessy Trust, but you were watching the games. But you can see that you've really bought into this sport now. And, well, and I'm not just talking about as your position
no,
of CEO.
No, it's my first sport.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I know. Look, you're, I mean, you have a history of sport throughout Northern
My tradition, you know, right up through my career was Gaelic football.
Yeah.
But hockey's my first sport now. Yeah. And hockey's my first sport because every year somebody tells me another rule.
I get that as well, 100%.
Somebody tells me another rule and I go, and then I have to go away and work it out. Yeah, yeah. It's incredible then that you get to sort of, you know, you form your own opinions about players and you form your own opinions about the process and the match night. And there is a part of me that's never off work. I'm never off work because you're always looking for ways that you can elevate the experience.
Sure.
But on a night like tonight where I can sit on my own and I can just take the game in, it's very relaxing, and it also in one way it's very relaxing, in the other way it takes me back to that adrenaline of sport.
Yeah.
And you know yourself, you've played for a long time, Simon. You cannot beat that adrenaline of sport. You can't shake it.
I mean, I still play on a Sunday night when I get the opportunity, and you know.
Well, I don't.
It's supposed to be non-contact, and I have to be told every week, Simon, it's non-contact. And this is probably after I've nailed somebody.
It
just doesn't come out.
Well, see, you've got to remember.
You've got to remember I'm 48 now as well.
Well, you got to remember I'm 60, and I searched, and I went after the drug of playing team sports because, I mean, I did all the big city marathons. I've Clive Mountains in Europe. I've done
cycling.
I've done the Tour de France cycle routes. I've done all of that to try and find that drug.
Yeah.
And that drug, when it leaves you, it's gone.
Yeah.
And you've got to then try and accept that the next best thing is to participate in a team's success.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if you think about it, and I mean, it's time for me to sort of turn the tables here. But if you think of the team that I have around me, right? In the likes of Steve as head of hockey, and with the team that he has around him, and Adam and Jeff and Taff, and then you think of the volunteers, and then you think of the people you've come on board, and you're part of the family. And I've always believed in a soccer idiom for hockey,
like the boot room from Liverpool.
There you go. Yeah. That is our club.
Yeah.
I've always believed that the way that Shankly transformed Liverpool, and I'm not a Liverpool fan, but as a professional, suddenly finding himself in charge of a sports franchise and not knowing whether the puck was blew up or stuffed, I had to come with an operating model. And it was very clearly obvious to me that the passion that existed within the club was such that it was very, very easy to sort of look around, look at a model bit of best practice, and try and shape it. Work it.
Yeah.
That caught me out. Big thanks to Robert Fitzpatrick for his time. And obviously, Joel, you can see it, the passion he exudes it in regards to this organization.
I absolutely love Mr. Fitz. I genuinely do. He's one of probably the most intense people I've ever met, but in a way that fires me up. You know, 5 minutes with Robert and you're ready to run through a wall. There's no one, and I mean no one, that could be better to be at the helm of this organization, of the Odyssey Trust, of the arena entity itself, of the whole heap, especially over the past couple of years. There's no one that I can think of with a fire in their belly and a genuine passion for everything that happens in that building. And we are in very safe hands as long as it's Mr. Fitzpatrick that's at the rudder.
Says you were the man conducting that interview there. You see it yourself. You know, you spoke about it yourself. There's a lot of plans of it, a lot of stuff we're not supposed to know, a lot of stuff we don't know that are coming along. And Robert is at the helm of all of that.
Yeah, and I mean, I was speaking to Steve after the Boston trip. I went to Boston last or 10 days ago, and Steve said, they never stopped. For the 4 days that they were there, they never stopped. There was meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. There was no downtime. They're literally just trying to make sure they've got 22 sorted out, 23 sorted out, 24 sorted out, moving forward, other plans, other opportunities. And it's getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, year six, unfortunately, as I say, we've missed 2 years. But year six of the Friendship Four, funny enough, I was just looking through the Friendship Four Bible, as Neil White says, put together, and it's got a full list of every single player that has played and how many, you know, who the top goal scorers are, the top point scorers, top appearances, everything. Everything is detailed on that the whole way down. And just looking through that, I mean, and I think it was it you mentioned last week that Father Brian had said there was 32 NHLers on there. I mean, I forgot all about Swayman, who played for Maine. And he's now, at the minute, he's number one for Boston. Their number one goalie. And he played in the Friendship Four. And it's, that's 4 years ago. You know, and you're sitting, this is the whole, I look, big Craig Simpson, listen to our podcast every week. You know Craig from Northwest. And,
I do.
You know, he's a big friend of the show. And Craig it would not miss the Friendship Four now. It's one of the things that he looks forward to. And it should be in every UK ice hockey fan's diary. It should be in there, Gary.
Even the
a week off, that's on.
John O'Bullard as well over at the Nottingham Panthers podcast, The Cat Whiskers, he goes on and on about it, about how what a weekend it is. I think he works with the TV aspects of it.
Yeah,
but 24/7 does all that. But you know, and Davey, just right up coming to you, you know, it's a fundamental feather in the cap of the Belfast Giants and the organization, because it has embedded itself into what the organization is. It shows the capability of the organization and what we can put on.
I guess in the 10 years since, that is 10 years now since the Odyssey Trust took the organization over, and what was a pretty fraught sort of exchange of ownership at the time, and it could have went badly wrong one way, but the Odyssey Trust stepped in and steadied the ship. And you only need to see, and Simon talked about, you know, Robert coming in there, and he said himself didn't know whether a puck was blew up or stuff, and became passionate about the club and has taken it in and just exponentially, to use the word that we've all learned over the last 2 years, unfortunately, you know, that growth and work, you know, it's not about personal legacy for Robert, although there's obviously going to be a little bit of that, because no matter what he leaves behind, it'll have his, you know, fingerprints on it. The second rink, or third rink, if you want to call it the third rink, because we've got the Odyssey, we've got the Ice Bowl, getting that an additional rink in Northern Ireland is massive to him. It's a passionate project for him. And this Friendship Four, which grew out of a few loose conversations and suddenly has become the bell pot, spoken about in Boston, a hotbed for hockey. It's a big tournament for, you know, the Massachusetts area, and they come over here. People are coming over now from there to watch it as well. You know, there's tourism out of it here. There's money invested in Northern Ireland from it. People are coming from GB to see it. And then obviously the payback of what is happening in STEM and all, and opportunities for student athletes. It's just a great event. We're very fortunate we're allowed to be a little part of it. And we're even more fortunate we'll get to watch it. It's just great. If you're available, get to it.
I'm just looking through, as I said, I was looking through it today, because there's something, somebody asked me a question over the weekend about it, and I said I would find out what the story was. And when you look back at the 2015-16 Northeastern team, there's five guys that were on that team have now played 726 games in the NHL. So there's Matt Benning's 325. I think he started off in Edmonton. He's now played in, he went to Nashville, and I can't remember where he is now. Give us a wee second and I'll tell you. Actually, still in Nashville, yeah. And then you've got Zach Aston-Reese, who was at the he's at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Dylan Secura, Chicago Blackhawks. Adam Gaudette played with Vancouver, and I think he's at New Jersey now. And Kevin Roy, which is the goalie. You know, that's only 5 years ago, and they were playing at the SSA Arena. Listen, if you can't make it to the SSA Arena, you need to watch it on TV. It's the best tournament that you will see ice hockey-wise in the UK, bar none. That's it.
And this will not be the last time we speak about it, believe you me. I think it's we can't wait for it. It's just under a year away, but we'll be coming back to it, no doubt, as we build up to it next season. It's, one of my favourites. Anyway, news time, Mr. Neil.
Yeah, boys, we'll rattle quickly through your action over the weekend. Start with some good news. We had Challenge Cup games this week. Bad news is they weren't group games, because I know that's everybody's favorite part of the season. But as you guys have already discussed at the top of the show, the Belfast Giants trail by a single goal heading into their quarterfinal second leg at home in January after a 3-2 Coventry Blaze victory at the Sky Dome. And in Dundee, our good friend of the show, Omar Pasha, and his Stars took a 4-2 first leg win over the Cardiff Devils in a game that had it all. More on that in just a moment. And in the Premier Sports Elite League, over the weekend on Saturday, the Dundee Stars got their weekend off to a solid start with a 5-2 win over local-ish rivals, the Glasgow Clan, at the DIA. Most of the damage was done there in a 3-goal first period. The Panthers also downed the Guildford Flames by 5-2 in front of 4,500 fans in Nottingham. Your Belfast Giants opened their homestand with a 3-1 win over the Fife Flyers on Teddy Toss night. The Cardiff Devils needed overtime to defeat the Manchester Storm at the Drizzle Dome, nicking the winner on the power play in the 61st minute. And the Sheffield Steelers continued their early season dominance, I'll say early season dominance, with a 3-1 win over the Coventry Blaze in Yorkshire. And on Sunday, the Clan bounced back at home with a 4-3 scoreline over Guildford. After a bit of a hot start to the season, the Flames have hit the skids a wee bit, failing to put a single point on the board over the weekend and leaving them down in fourth place. They were sitting in second. Your Belfast Giants, on the other hand, completed their own four-point weekend with a 7-2 thrashing of Davey McGipsy's favourite team. Good for second place in the table and trailing 6 points behind the Steelers with a game in hand. And obviously that 1-2 doubleheader weekend to look forward to this weekend. The Steelers went to the Sky Dome where they beat Coventry 5-1, maintaining their 100% away record on the season so far. And that's also a 0-point weekend for the Blaze, leaving them in ninth place with 11 points from 13 games. The Fife Flyers were beaten 5-1 by the Manchester Storm in Kirkcaldy. A solid weekend for the Storm, taking 3 points from four. And the Cardiff Devils lost at the DIA for the second time in a week, falling 2-1 to Dundee on Sunday, meaning that our friends from Wales have only managed 2 points from four and a cup defeat after laying a goose egg last week. And you just hate to see that. It's the kind of thing you hate to see. It's tough. And if you don't mind, Patrick Smith, we'll take a look at your kind of general news. We might as well begin with the fact that Dops have returned with a force this week. Don't know if you've got music to that effect, or we'll just carry on.
We keep going.
No, he does. Absolutely. Get to talk about
Dops.
Oh, there it is.
Dops.
Go for it.
Beautiful. Get to talk about my favourite goaltender in the league first. On Saturday night in Sheffield, Steelers goaltender Barry Brust used his blocker in an illegal action directed at the head of Coventry Blaze forward Yanni Kivalati, earning him a fine and a one-game suspension, which was served on Sunday as the Steelers won away in Coventry. I don't know, do we have video for these, Paddy? No?
No, no video. not this week, sadly.
I don't know if you saw this, but as the puck comes from behind the goal net, Brust turns to Kivalati, lunges forward at him, arms extended, hands stick raised, blocker contact into the head. The Dops says that Kivalati was unaware and unable to protect himself. This is roughing, and they also made the point that it's important to note that the goaltender's blocker is a lot stronger than a player's glove, and there's specific rules regarding the use of the blocker other than to save the puck. It's deemed reckless and endangering with a high risk of causing an injury. So we get a fine in a one game, which has been served and all, and we will get to see him hopefully for the first time on SSE ice this weekend. I don't know if you've already talked about it before I popped into the show this evening, but on Wednesday night in Coventry, our very own Ben Lake was assessed a major and game misconduct kneeing penalty for a hit on Blaze forward Matthew Thompson, which caused an injury, removing Thompson from the game. Lake was subsequently fined and suspended for 2 games, meaning he should be back in action this weekend, fingers crossed, for the home Sheffield double. Dopp says on this one, Thompson's in control of the puck, skating through the neutral zone. Lake is back checking towards his defensive zone, and as Thompson reaches the line, turns to skate across the ice in an effort to avoid the Giants' defense. Lake sees Thompson crossing the blue line, moves towards him, attempts to line up a body check, adjusts his course in an attempt to make full body contact, leading with his knee and making direct contact with his opponent, which is the definition of kneeing. Dops's rationale here, they say that it's important to note Lake is in control of the play. They acknowledge that he was attempting to make a full body check, but this play cannot be classified as a collision between two players where one or both move reactively or defensively at the last moment to avoid contact. So essentially they're saying the onus is on him to take the angle of approach that ensures he's in a good position. For that, he was obviously suspended for 2 games plus a fine. I don't know if you have any thoughts about Ben Lake's kneeing incident in Coventry.
I'll go first. Fine. I think like the suspension was more or less what I was expecting. I don't know about the other gents, you know, it's sort of one of those and you see it, you know, his legs in there, it is knee and knee, you know, the onus is on Ben Lake in that respect. He got the match penalty, and you know, I was expecting two or three. Two's, you know, from my perspective, two's acceptable. Davey?
There was a similar incident in the Maple Leafs game a couple of weeks ago, and that's then I think it's Spezza goes in and ends up getting the does he get a mental 6 games or something?
11.
11 games for the kind of retaliation. It's almost a retaliation hit. I think the Dops sort of explanation there is fair enough on Laker there. You've got to know when to hold him, know when to fold him. And I think that that one there, he should fold that hand and get out of the way. You know, it's one of those you don't like to see knee on knee incidents in hockey because they can be really, really bad for a player getting a knee to knee. And I hope the Blaze player, as Laker will as well, we'll hope that Blaze player is absolutely fine, because whether it's a suspensionable hit or not, Laker will not have went to hurt him. You know, that's for sure. But as I say, when he cuts across that blue line, the onus is on Ben Lake there, probably not to, with the check out that hit, to get out of it. And unfortunately, we're talking split second decision.
Yep.
Made the wrong decision, gets 2-game suspension. I think he'll look back at that and go, yeah, fair enough. I think the organization will as well. He's served him now. I look forward to having him back in.
And Dad says, you happy enough?
What was the question? He got what he deserved. I mean, ultimately, it's 3 games. You know, he missed 2, and then obviously he was thrown out that game. So, yeah, it's over and done with now. With Sheffield this weekend, hopefully he'll be back.
Yeah, amen to that. And then obviously the one that has done the rounds, even getting the John Boy treatment on the internet this week. On Wednesday night in Dundee, Cardiff Devils forward Brandon McNally was assessed a major and game misconduct fighting penalty at the end of the second period. That actually resulted in a double fine and a 2-game suspension. We don't have enough time on the show to go through this madness, boys, but I assume that all and sundry have already seen it. He gets involved with several people on the ice, does a bit of shoving, does a bit of punching, makes his way over to the gate to go down into the dressing room. Because of the setup of Dundee's rink, there's really no segregation there between fan and player as you come off. Does a bit of jawing at someone in the crowd. Person in the crowd moves faster than I've seen anyone move ever down a flight of stairs. It was stunning. I think we should be taking a look at him for next season if he can skate. And that was all diffused pretty quickly. But interesting to note, just following on from that incident, the Dundee Stars are going to be independently investigated by Hockey Ops, with work to ensure similar incidents involving spectators, and items being thrown onto the playing surface are not repeated. This is a conversation we've had over and over again, though. You've seen it with did Devin Didio-Meady get involved with fans? Or no, what do you call
Convoy.
The guy? It was Convoy. Oh my goodness, that's who it was. Super. Yeah, that's a great pull. And even all the way back to Theo Fleury coming up over the penalty box in Coventry, which was obviously before my time, but I've seen the footage. But yeah, look, they say they're going to investigate it. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to what will be one of the enduring video clips of the season, no doubt.
Go on, David.
I can't understand for life. I mean, I know you can't compare eggs with apples, and Seth Bennett always said this about 2 games for this and 2 games for that. You can't compare them. So you can't compare Ben Lake getting suspended for 2 games for the knee with this incident. How McNally has got away with 2 games. And we've been quite forthright. So don't be saying I'm putting my teal specs on here. We've been quite forthright about Ben Lake, the hit. We've analysed it and the suspension, accepted it, move on. How McNally has got away with multiple altercations, still fighting when the linos and stuff, and who would want? I don't know what a lino gets paid in this league. Probably not a brilliant
fair play. That lino was all in, like that lino was, but very like, physical.
How the Dundee Stars can stop someone tossing a bottle from 3 rows back? I don't know what they're supposed to do there. And as far as yes, okay, running down and getting to the crush barrier, or whatever. I think it's who's number 41 for the Devils? Is it
Josh Batch.
Might well have done McNally a solid there and got off the bench and ran quickly when he seen, I think he spied the guy come down the steps. I'd love to know what was said there, because it tilted his switch there. Like he was went full tilt there in no time at all.
He touched every step on the way down those feet.
But
it's like Fred Flintstone bowling.
I don't know who it was that he crossed But it was that last incident of the sort of two hands or slight cross check to the chin of the guy that tilted your man, and he's through the bottle at that stage. Yeah. And then something else has been said as well, and he's just went mad.
It's funny
to watch, but it's not. It's a serious subject as well. You know, I don't know. The chat from Dops, it's not enough. Two games is not enough in that situation for me. And as I say, I have to be very careful because we've just analysed the Belfast Giants Dops situation, and you can get accused of being, you know, very biased. But like, I don't know what anybody else's opinion were. That is more than a 2-game suspension for me.
Says,
I can't get involved in this.
Okay.
Of course I can. No.
I was wondering what was going on there.
McNally's got away with one for sure. Totally agree with you. I mean, I loved Matt Nickerson's tweet. You know, and he's got up. I mean, I know Nicker, you know, sort of made contact with a guy, but although he didn't make enough contact with him, yeah, in my opinion. But your man running down the stairs, you know what? Apparently it was a Cardiff Devil fans that stopped him getting to the fence or getting to the cow gate. In all fairness, if he'd have got to the cow gate,
He'd be taken
out in a stretcher, and he deserved to be taken out in a stretcher. Sit in your seat and stop being a big lad. If you're throwing stuff on the ice, you need to be thrown out of the arena in the first place. But yeah, the bottom line is, those guys are basically... I felt bad for McNally in that position, to be honest, because he should not be put in that position. Dundee Ice Arena needs to be doing better to stop people getting anywhere near the players in one instance. Because, even during the game, the people are walking past there, and I understand, you know, that's a small... smaller rink, and they need to be able to get from one side of the thing to the other. Hey, Todd, how are you? But, you know, for me, it's all about, you know, they need to stop that fan getting to anywhere near the players. So I did feel sorry for McNally in that instance. However, 2 games, it's laughable, to be honest.
Yeah,
boys, just to bring that up.
I think 2 games is absolutely laughable. I agree with both the gents. And I think that you look at some of the incidents we have in the past, like with the likes of Convoy, with the likes of Nickerson, and you know, other incidents where, but even before we get there, as the lads have said, you know, punching the lad down in the prone on the ice, get involved with the lino as well, getting up and basically just shoving in the face of the first man he sees on the way out. Just all these things added together should have you know, equaled something a bit more. But in the but I love that John Boy video that's on Twitter, and some of the aspects of that I hadn't actually seen. Such as I didn't even know there was a bottle thrown until I watched.
Neither
that.
Did I.
And,
yeah, amazing.
And but also the fact that the fella after doing that went back to his seat. Well, I'm going to go back to the seat. Nope, out you go, son. All right,
and he just zipped out. You know?
But it's I haven't seen a fella being thrown out of an arena like that since Chris Revels thrown out of Hull. You know, that was a long time ago.
Before we move on from this, actually, I just pulled up the Matt Nickerson suspension. And I do remember on this very show having this exact discussion about the Guildford Spectrum, because there isn't that infrastructure to keep fans away from players who are playing an intensely physical game and are seeing red. And Matt Nickerson, for that match penalty, got in the fight with a player, got the abuse of the officials penalty, and then got a further match penalty for engaging with a spectator. 28th of January, 2018, suspension, 20 games. So make it make sense, you know. One last thing in news. Sorry, I know we're running long, but Wednesday's scheduled game between the Nottingham Panthers and Manchester Storm has been postponed in accordance with EIHL COVID protocols. I think that might be the first one this season, but hopefully of very few, if not no further. We can cross our fingers. And that's your news, Patrick.
Thanks very much, mate. Yeah, that it's so disappointing that's happened, and we see it's happening in the Premier League. A lot of teams going down, especially. We say to anybody out there, stay safe. You know, it's the there's a lot of this going about now. It has been going about for 2 years, but hopefully, we'll be able to see through Christmas and see the end of it, and hopefully not too much disruption. Okay, we'll just quickly move on to the games that have taken place this weekend. We'll not talk too much about it because obviously we'll leave that to the lads on the ice. Games, it is first against second at the SSE Arena. The Sheffield Steelers visit to play the Belfast Giants 7 p.m. on Friday and 7 p.m. on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You can get yourselves down to the SSE Arena or follow on Giants TV with our good friend there, Mr. Simon Kitchen. Just briefly around, or I'll start with you, Joel. You know, first versus second, and a chance to catch the Steelers.
Yeah, look, form team. There's no point in chewing over this one too much. The Giants, I think, played a blinder over the weekend. Down on bodies, were spectacular, especially Sunday against the Panthers, as you guys have covered expertly. This is it. This is the big weekend. It's the one everyone had circled in their calendars as soon as the fixtures come out. So it's time to go. It's time for these boys to get stuck in. And I could not have loved what Jordan Boucher said more earlier in the show. That says to me that the boys understand and that they see the importance of this weekend. So I'm just ready to go.
Good point, says Boosh. Seemed that he was ready for it.
They're all ready for it, man. Hoping to have a couple more bodies back this weekend. I know Ben Lake's suspension's over, so I'm sure he'll be back in the lineup, but hopefully a couple more feeling good enough to be ready to go. And we'll Friday night, let's get ready to go and beat the Steelers.
How pivotal are these weekends, Davey? He's on mute. He's going. How pivotal? I know you don't want me to come, Dave, but that's fine. How pivotal are weekends like this, first versus second? Is this a key weekend of the season?
Every weekend's key. This is obviously when you're playing the teams at the top, you have to put them away as well. And you know, without going too cliche, there's a whole load of it's like celebrity squares. Like celebrity squares.
Celebrity squares.
Oh, other way. You're that.
Right, yeah, Paddy. For anybody not watching on YouTube, we're just messing about.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Like it is. It's obviously key to close that gap as well. They played maybe one game more than us. Would that be right? You know,
I think it's level nine.
We still have the one game in hand.
Yep. Yeah.
15 and 16.
It's important. That's worried about Friday night. And I agree with the guys. Are what Bush said about remembering what went down in Sheffield, and wanting to right that wrong. That's the first thing we have to do this weekend. And Saturday will take care of itself after Friday.
Absolutely. That is Belfast Giants against the Sheffield Steelers, SSE Arena on Friday and Saturday. It's a big weekend for your home team. 7 p.m. for both of those games. Get yourself down to the SSE Arena or follow it on Giants Live TV, Giants TV with Mr. Simon Kitchen. Enjoyed, by the way, says enjoyed like Darcy being on, and Kieran Long, I thought was very good as well. Who else? There was somebody else on with you as well.
Cam Knight
thought he was good as well, but I thought the Kieran Long especially enjoyed Kieran Long, thought he was excellent.
Once you get into it, he was okay. He was a wee bit nervous at the start, but you know, you just once you take a mick out of him a wee bit, he's okay. So but no, he was good. I thought he was really good, and I actually liked doing it with Darcy as well. He sort of, you have to give him a bit of a prod every once in a while. Sorry, poke every once in a while. to make sure he's paying attention, because he's so, I mean, some of the guys are so involved in the game, it's like they're still sitting watching the game from the bench. So you just need to give him a wee nudge, and he knows all about it. There you go. Poke, poke, poke. There you go, Jimmy. Hiya.
Give it a wee.
Wrong way.
We continue, Dip. Yeah, okay, right. So any other business, gents? I'm going to start off. Just, there was a nice email, or sorry, a nice tweet from the Belfast Giants on a Facebook thing about they're asking people to email in. If you've lost somebody in the last 12 months or so and you'd like them remembered, the Giants are going to try to do their best to do that. There's I would go to the Belfast Giants Facebook account or Twitter, and I believe the email address is noreply@belfastgiants.com. A really nice thing, says, for the Giants, a really nice initiative for the Giants to be involved in.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I know that, you know, there's a lot of people who have lost loved ones over the last period of time, even more so, more than 12 months, Paddy. And, you know, I think it's a nice touch. It's one of them things that sort of, you know, brings the club together that wee bit more. And you know, you always get things wrong and you maybe don't recognize certain things throughout the year. But I think this is something that in the last game of the season, and it just happened to be on New Year's Eve as well, 4 o'clock face off. Don't know when they're doing it. Don't know if they're doing it at the start of the game, middle of the game. I have no idea. But I think it's a really, really nice touch. And hopefully, again, it brings memories back and good memories back for people who are no longer with us.
Yeah. Anybody else with a comment on it or any other business?
No, absolutely super. Says summed it up. I think we'll all have a few names in our heads that evening, but that's an absolutely classy move from the club. And I saw it being praised far and wide, not just in the Giants fan base. So, brilliant.
Any other business, boys?
Not for me, mate. All done.
Nope. Davey? Nothing. Joel?
I take it you guys covered wee Dahi McGowan earlier in the show and the importance of organ donation. What a wee superstar. So sign the register, have that conversation with your loved ones, and it takes a couple of minutes, and do something amazing.
That's fantastic. And on that note, we'll wrap things up. Big thanks to Jordan Boucher, Robert Fitzpatrick for their time and be involved with the show. Big thanks to all involved regards to the footage that we've used. Those games, as we said, Belfast Giants against the Sheffield Steelers Friday and Saturday at the SSE Arena at 7 p.m. Get yourselves down there, absolutely. I will warn you, however, Mark Hitchcock is over for the weekend.
Oh my God.
There's danger involved.
Are you over, Paddy?
I am, yeah. Friday afternoon for the weekend.
Debbie's home on Tuesday, Debbie?
Monday.
Yeah. I'm going to have to put up with Hitchcock. I'm going to try to avoid him for the weekend, but that's not going to happen, really.
But, I'll get the Moretti poured for you, Mr. P. Smith. Can't wait to see you.
I'm looking forward to it. Yep, so Friday and Saturday.
Paddy, I work for the organisation now. I can stop him getting in.
That's true.
Finally.
You force him to pay for Jan's TV and sit outside. How wonderful would that be?
Just get me a recent photograph off him, and we'll put it in the door. No access to this man.
I'll do that. He's been sending me WhatsApp all the way through this show because he's absolutely hammered. He's that excited about coming over. It's there as bad go. As Davey was on Saturday night.
Davey wasn't that bad on Saturday night.
He was all right. You're all right, Davey. You're all right on Sunday.
I've got my phone's broke, so all those messages that look like they were sent in a dodgy way was just because I can't read what my screen is.
Yeah.
That's what it is, mate. That's fair enough. So, yes, the weekend ahead is going to be a big one for the Belfast Giants. Get yourself down to the SSE Arena. Get us at AVFTB on Twitter, Facebook, kingdomofthegiants.com. Big thank you to Mr. Neil, Mr. McGimsey, and Mr. Kitchen.
Thanks, boys.
Nice one, lads. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your holiday. We'll catch you here next time on a V from.
Sports Social Podcast Network.